So David's been given a series of lessons about the great church begins with me, a great church. Due to my travels and the lack of internet at the right times, I hadn't been able to watch many of them. I watched a couple last night. But they've been a great series of lessons, and I hope everyone here has been getting a lot out of them. The one thing I wanted to point out is in the title of each one of these lessons is the great church, a great church, begins with me. So the focus of this has been us as individuals. Now we have a congregation, we worship together, we're made up of individuals, but each one of us has got to contribute, and I'm not talking financially, but contribute our skills and our abilities to further God's word. And that doesn't matter what congregation you're in, that obligation is on all of us. So I appreciate his focus on it begins with me. Sometimes we can sit back and we think, well, so-and-so's not doing something, so I don't have to do it. Or sometimes we mimic something somebody's doing and it's not the right thing. But it begins with us. And it begins in the scriptures, not in opinion. And the lesson today is about a great outreach. And that outreach is not focused on me. It's focused on what we do in the community. What we do with our friends, our neighbors, our family, our coworkers, people in the marketplace that you bump into. So it begins really with us. And I have to say, it's not about a program that a church puts together. Now, those things are good. They can lead to good things. But without the individuals participating, it's useless. So these topics have been spot on for us to focus on what can we do as individuals. And today is about outreach. You know, in my travels with Robert Martin, it's been a great privilege to see what 40 years, almost 50 years actually, of working in the Pacific Islands, very diverse cultures, from one island that's 500 miles away to another one, totally different culture. And yet, Robert and Mary and others that were with him planted churches throughout the Pacific Islands by one-on-one. It starts with one. It starts with you. And it's not the preacher's job to do outreach. It's not the elder's job to do outreach. It's not the deacon's job to do outreach. It's every one of us individually that has to be participating in that. So that's the focus on today's lesson. We start out with the great need. Got to turn it on. The great need. So what is the great need? Well, the great need is that there are souls that are all around us. Lost souls. And we have to do something about that. It is our responsibility. Responsibility as Christians to do something about that. And I've always learned that responsibility is two words. We have to have the ability, and we have to be able to respond. And when we have that, when we study God's word, and we prepare ourselves, we've got a commitment to respond. And respond by reaching out to those around us. So there are souls all around us. And in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14, the passage says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. I have seen and met people that were taught, both here in the United States and in other parts of the world, where someone paid attention to them. Someone sat next to them on a bus bench, met them in a marketplace, met them in their workplace, and spoke to them and encouraged them to look at their spiritual lives, to look at what is the church that God put on the earth for us. And those people, when you're seeking, the Bible says you will find. I have seen that in individuals, older people that I've spoken to in Fiji and other islands. I asked them, how did you come about to be a Christian? And one of them was a person that had given a tract to him in a marketplace. They read the tract, and he says, I have been seeking the truth. And this was a denominational individual. And when he picked up that tract and read it, he said, I found the truth. And he's deceased now, that particular individual. But it was just from someone handing out a tract. It's from someone, like I said, sitting on a park bench or sitting at a bus stop or you name it, where we start a conversation because we're interested in people as individuals. And that interest then sparks a relationship. And when you start a relationship, you can start spreading the gospel. So we need to do that in all that we do and be an example for that. The gospel is still God's power to save. You know, we can do all kinds of things ourselves as individuals. But it's when you study the Word of God, an individual studies the Word of God, and they're convicted by God's Word that they're in a position that they shouldn't be in. And they have a path to salvation. God's Word is what convicts people. You know the scripture that says, I jumped ahead of myself, but I'm going to say this one anyway. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6 and 7, it says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So it's about us to start the process and point at God's Word. And that is what is going to bring the increase, by changing hearts. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor those who water, but God gives the increase. And we ought to never forget that. It's not all about me in that instance, but it's about how we handle God's Word. So there's a great need in the Scriptures. Sometimes we neglect outreach because we become inward focused on us. What is the church, quote unquote, doing for me? And that's not the way we should be. We should be looking at what am I doing for the Lord? And doing is the key word there. We'll talk about that more later. And sometimes we think the responsibility belongs to somebody else. You know, it's the deacon in charge of outreach. Well, the deacon in charge of outreach is only going to be someone who helps coordinate things. But it gets back to us as individuals. Every individual sitting in this room has a responsibility and is accountable to God. And we're going to get to that in a moment. And an outreach has to be personal. People have to know you care before they care if you know. So people have to know that you care. And that's just a personality trait that we all have. When somebody expresses interest in you, and in a spiritual topic, that can start a wonderful relationship that can lead them to the gospel. And the opposite is true. If you ignore people, if you stay in your little cocoon and don't ever reach out, you'll never get to the point where you can show people how much you care. And we're going to talk about compassion in just a moment. So in each of these lessons, David has put together this outline where we cover the similar topics, but after focused on, in this case, outreach. So there's a biblical foundation for what we're talking about. This isn't just David's idea of what we need to do. It's based on scriptures. And brothers and sisters, we have to always base it on scriptures. So, we know that Jesus came to seek and save the lost. If we are following Jesus, we cannot be indifferent about the lost. And we all know people that are lost. People in our own families, maybe spouses, uncles and aunts, our next door neighbors, people we bump into the street and bump into on the street, not in the street. And in that case, we can't be indifferent. We can't just shrug it off and say, oh, well, what can one person do? But when we start seeing the responsibility is on us, God's going to give you the power to help you through that, through His Word. His Word gives us the strength to stand up and be accounted for in speaking to others. And there's not anyone in this auditorium who cannot do that in different ways, but all of us have a way that we can serve. Jesus commanded His people to go. We talk about the Great Commission, and that's the scripture just referenced here. And Jesus, in speaking to His disciples, He says, He came to them and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and do what? Make disciples. Brother Dan Winkler gave us a lesson on this about 2 years ago, I think. Outstanding lesson. I've never forgotten it. And I've studied it and I've used it in other lessons. But the responsibility is go, therefore. Now, who is he speaking to? The apostles. Does that apply to us? Absolutely. Are you going? That's a question for us to ask. And by the way, in the lesson today, I'm going to ask questions that we should ask each other or as an individual. So we need to go. And making disciples doesn't just happen. Sometimes it takes an hour. Most of the times it takes days or weeks. And those are things that we need to do over time to make disciples. And it's not by race. It's not by nationality. It's not by where someone lives in a neighborhood. The Bible says all nations. All doesn't leave anything out. All nations. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded. Not all things that Dan McLeod has commanded, but all things that Jesus commanded. And then he says, lo, I am with you, always with you, even to the end of the age. There's a promise in that too. But that's the foundation of what we're talking about. We're not making up a program here that helps people to reach out. It's first the focus on me, and I'm pointing at myself. And you should be listening as to me. What am I going to do. So the early Christians spread the word wherever they went. You read the book of Acts, you read the epistles written by Paul and Peter and others, and you see where that has been propagated throughout the world that they knew then, in a very short period of time, too. So the early Christians spread the word, and they had reason to. We're going to get the motive in just a minute. But they talked to their neighbors and friends and people in the Jewish religion that at that time were being converted away from the old law into the new covenant. And it's the love of souls that should motivate us. The love for souls. Romans chapter 10. Verse 1, and actually 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Knowing therefore that the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are well known to God, and I also trust are well known in your consciences." So we're going to have an accountability at the end. That accountability is, you know, eternity. Are we going to live in eternity with God our Father and Jesus or not? And it's going to be based on what we've done with our lives. So we have to take this very seriously. It is what we need to do as individuals to teach the gospel. And it's the love of souls that got to have to motivate us. In the same passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14, says, "For the love of Christ compels us." So Christ loved us, loved us, still loves us. And it's that love which needs to compel us to invite others to obtain that like love. So God calls us to be ready and to be wise. Now, none of us go off on a great trip. Let's say we prepare to go up to Maine or something like that. Well, I guess none of us, but some of us can do that and just say, I'm going to leave and show up. But we have to make plans for it, don't we? You have to plan how you're going to get there. You're going to have enough money to do what you need to do. You have to have a place to stay. So we plan things every day. So we have to plan on how we are going to serve our Lord on a day-to-day basis. And it's not just an afterthought. It needs to be part of our fabric of life that we plan how we're going to serve God. And again, it's God who gives the increase, not our abilities. God will take our, I say, raw abilities, unrefined sometimes, but His Word will work through that as long as we're teaching God's Word. And we have lots of tools that we can do or use to do that. But God gives the increase. Now, in each one of these lessons, David has a biblical example of what we're talking about. In this case, the outreach. We won't spend much time on this, but I want to bring it up so that you can look at this later on. You can download it from the web or from YouTube You can watch the lesson. But take the time to read this passage through carefully and really think about the example that's set by this. And we know this is the woman at the well. And that's when Jesus was going through Samaria, which is not a place where most Jews went. They would try to go around it. But Jesus decided to go into Samaria. And he met this woman at the well. And there are all kinds of details that we can add to this, but we won't go into that today. But it was socially inappropriate for a Jewish man to meet a Samaritan woman in that situation. And yet, Jesus cared more about what he needed to do to teach this woman about the future, about his salvation. So she met Jesus, she heard him, and she was intrigued by what she heard. And it was just Jesus speaking to her. And you remember what he said to her, the first words that he said? Give me a drink of water. Now, how's that for an introduction? But that led on to deeper conversation. And we can do the same thing. We can ask for a drink of water, or we can offer a drink of water. And you can take that literally, but you can also take it figuratively, in that there's many things we can do to start a conversation. But the result of this is that she went into town and told the people what she had heard from Jesus. And what reaction did that get? You remember? It said the whole town came out to see what this man was all about. And they listened to Jesus' words. So, through this Samaritan woman, who had five husbands and wasn't married to the man she was with, she spurned that group of people to come out of town to hear the Lord Jesus speak. So, what can you do? What can I do? So people came because of her words. And they heard Jesus for themselves. How does Jesus speak to us today? Is it in a dream? Do we have some kind of magical experience when Jesus speaks to us? It's through God's word. And we have to be students of God's word. We have to know what God's word says. We have to study it. And that process of study is rich. And I don't mean just reading your Bible through. Study. Robert taught a lesson on how to study the Bible when we were in Fiji. No offense, Dan, or anybody else teaching here. It was the best instruction on how to study the Bible for those individuals. And they ate it up. And Robert's a very quiet person, as you know. He's very gregarious and outgoing. And he had them really getting excited about studying the Bible. And if you haven't ever attended Dan's Monday night classes and studying there, Dan, I'll never forget I think it was about 2 years that Luann and I went to those classes. And we learned how to study the Bible. And there's a lot to it that brings out the message that God is giving us through His Word. So, what does this mean for us? If we walk away from this lesson today, and again, it's not because of what I'm saying, But if you walk away from this without having a better conviction on what we need to do, it's not, don't take this wrong, it's not my failure, because I'm pointing you to what's in the scriptures. But it's on each one of us individually to take and apply these lessons so that we can use them in our day-to-day life. And I can tell you there's not one of us in here that can't do better. I think Dan would say that too. We can always do better. So we need to build a culture. And a culture in the sense that we have a common objective. And we do have a common objective. One of the works of the church is to save souls, to get out into the community, to invite people, to encourage them. And if they're converted and they put on Christ, to help build them up. And it's a continual process. It never stops. So we've got to see people as souls, not just an individual. Dan, I was trying to remember the name of the motorcycle gang rider in 36th Street. Do you remember his name? But anyway, what was that? Yeah, Bear. That's right, Bear. When you looked at Bear, and many of you have met him, you would say, I don't know if I want to teach that guy. But somebody did. Somebody reached out to him. He was moved by the gospel. He obeyed the gospel. And he was faithful until he died. So don't let people's looks, their race, their ethnic background, where they live, how they speak, what language they speak, don't let that ever stop you. Because it's God who's going to work through you to get the gospel to them. But don't forget that. So that motivation, we've got to see people as lost souls. And I keep thinking about that passage where we're going to give an account for what we've done with our lives. And how many, it's not a numbers game, let me rephrase that. It's not how many we bring. It's the effort that we put into bringing people to the truth. God will give the increase. We need to build a culture where outreach is normal, not abnormal. So outreach needs to be a part of all of us. Everything that we do, we need to be thinking about how to reach the lost and acting, not just thinking. A lot of times we think but don't do anything. I'm talking about me too. But we have to be acting to do that. And it needs to be natural. You know, when someone tries to talk to you about something and you're not interested, what happens? They don't hear you. So you got to be natural, engaging with them. And, you know, caring, showing that you care about them, not just saying it. We need to build a culture where every member sees a role. And there are roles for every one of us. Not everyone's going to be a teacher. Not everyone's going to be a preacher. But there are roles that we have in this congregation that many of you fill today. And we have to be seeking that role that we can play and continually to build those skills. We need to build a culture where guests are treated like souls. I love Palm Beach Lakes. I love every one of you. I love how you reach out to individuals when they come in this building. But try to remember, as we're loving on each other, don't forget the visitors that we have. Take the time to seek them out before they zoom out the door and engage with them. And you'll be surprised what you find. There are people in here today because someone reached out to them before they got out the door. So we all have to do that. We need to be an encouragement to others. There are things that we can say or do that can discourage, drag down. And in this world of social media, what a mess. You can find anything you want to believe in social media. Anything. And 99% of it, or probably more than that, most of it's just flat lies or false. So, brethren, don't rely on social media. Rely on one-on-one. It has a role as a tool, but it's not the way to only use that. We have to be one-on-one. And we all have lots of resources here in this building. Resources with individuals that are willing to go to a Bible study with you. If you find someone you want to study with, I guarantee you, there will be someone that will go with you. There are pamphlets out in the foyer, and they have a role. You can hand them out, but shoving them in somebody's face and walking away isn't the way to do it. It's engaging with them and telling them what's in there and what they can learn from it. So we have so many resources available here. The classes that we have in this church, in the auditorium, in the back rooms, for young adults, in-depth Bible studies on some things, usually in the other room, adult room. We have materials that, I don't know if you've walked into David's office ever. I'm surprised he's got room to sit. But there are a lot of resources that we can pull together if you have questions, if you have a desire to dig deeper into some topic because someone spoke to you about something and you don't know how to answer. And it's okay to say, you know, I don't know the answer to that, but I will get back with you. So, the last thing on this page is we've got to build a culture where we expect God to use us. And again, it's not a magic thing. It's God's going to use us through what He gives us in His Word. But we're the ones that have to take action, not someone else. You know, one way to look at it, I'm going to do this because I know I need to do it. And it really doesn't matter who else I'm looking at. You need to take it on as an individual responsibility. Individual from husband and wife, although you can go together, there's nothing wrong with that. But don't expect someone else to do the Lord's work. You need to do it. I need to do it. I'm not leaving myself out on that. But that culture, and I know Dan has seen it in congregations, and I've seen it in this congregation. When we're doing that, there's an excitement that comes with it. And it feeds on itself. And that you encourage others that are on the edge and not necessarily ready to jump in. But that excitement is because you're being driven by the words of God to teach others. And it is rewarding to yourself as much as it is to those that are being converted. So brethren, this culture that we're talking about is not one individual. It's all of us. If it's all of us working together for one perspective, to seek the lost and bring them to Christ. And when we focus on that, you will change yourself, you will change this community, and you will change this congregation in a good way. So, almost on time. David had a different question up here, and I asked him before I changed it. The question was, what can I do? But I flipped it around, and it's not a bad question, by the way. But I said, what am I going to do? So what can I do is an intention. In the future, I can do this. But the question we want to leave on each of our thoughts tonight, I'd like you to ask yourself this question. What am I going to do? And you can put a timeline on it. Today, what am I going to do? What am I going to do tomorrow? And then you start that pattern. And you start to think and act on things you're doing as opposed to thinking. So we need to be prepared, brethren. It's not just a thought. So some of the suggestions, write down three names of people who need the gospel. It can be 50 names, but you're not going to cover 50 names in one day. Write down just three. Family member, neighbor, friend, coworker. Write them down. That person has a soul. And if they're not in the Lord's church, they're lost. By God's definition, not Dan's definition. So write down three names. Pray for those three the whole week. Take time to pray for them. Invite one person to worship. Just one. What would it be like if everyone in here invited one person? We'd be packed. And whose responsibility is it? Mine. Yours. Not somebody else's. Speak to a guest before... I got ahead of myself. Speak to a guest before just speaking to your friends around you. You know, we're a loving congregation. We give lots of hugs and welcomes. But don't forget our guests. That's really important. Some of them are here just for a brief second. Some of them stay. Go meet them. Go talk to them. Welcome them. Ask one person a spiritual question. There are many questions you can ask, but, you know, a spiritual question. I think a lot about the condition of the world today and what a mess it's in. Not just the United States, the world. You know, we're driven by material things, greed, selfishness, hatefulness. You can start out a conversation like, what do you think about all this hatefulness in the world? Is there any solution to that? The answer is yes. But it's not a political solution. So things like that's just one thought. And if you aren't skilled in teaching yet, we all ought to get there. But if you're not skilled, ask somebody to go with you. It doesn't matter who you ask in here that has the skills, an elder or a preacher, a deacon, one of the teachers, they will go with you. I guarantee you they'll go with you. So just ask somebody to go with you. If you've got a contact and you really want to teach them the gospel, ask somebody to take with you. And this last bullet, encourage one new Christian. We have a number of new Christians here. Are you encouraging them? Have you even met them? Encourage those young Christians that are making a change in their life. And many times, they get off track. But it's us who are commanded to exhort one another daily, as long as it is called today. So we have to do that to our young brothers and sisters, young in the faith. And how about an inactive member? Someone that you haven't seen for a long time. Reach out to them. Encourage them. That's being done by elders, being done by others. But you take that responsibility. Call them. Send them a text message. Encourage them to be here. You cannot sit on the other side of that screen watching a tube and get fellowship. It's just impossible. People need people. And that's why we're here, meeting today, studying God's Word, so that we can be stronger, so that we can teach others and bring others to Christ. So, brethren, if you take away one thing from this, it's my responsibility. Use those words to yourself. I am responsible. Not to me, to God. You will change this congregation. You will change your life. You will change the lives of others for good. So I appreciate your kind attention today. I hope this has been useful. And again, I want us to think about what I can do, not what somebody else is going to do for me. So thank you, and I hope you have a wonderful day today.